Joining us now is Boston Globe columnist Jeff Jacoby. Cobes, where you been, baby?
How's everything in the jabber chamber?
Just a groovy young kid with a dream, hopefully. Jeff is a Boston Globe columnist, and I don't know. I read the column half full or half empty, and I'm saying I don't even think it's close as far as being half full anymore. We're legitimately pessimistic now, Jeffrey, in my eyes.
You know, we're always legitimately pessimistic, and people have been from the very beginning.
Yeah, it's true. This is always it. Tell me, because
Listen. You remember as well as I do what it was like in, let's say, 1968. I was 8 years old in 1968. I was growing up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I can remember seeing the troop carriers taking National Guardsmen in full uniform and riot gear heading to downtown Cleveland, which was aflame with a race riot, mm-hmm. as cities across America were that summer. If we had been having a conversation in 1968, Dennis, and somebody had said, America's future, are you optimistic or pessimistic? Is the glass half full or half empty? You would have said then, too, man, there's no question. We've got more reasons to be pessimists than ever before. And yet, you know, look how America came out of that.
Well, listen, I think you can go back to the Haymarket Square and read tea leaves that augur for maybe, you know, the demise of the culture momentarily. But I'm talking about an overall, you know, spread of malaise. That's what I'm talking about. It just seems like the country has gone past, for me, for the first time, the halfway point on people who don't think like I do. Now, it's still on the cusp, but I don't see a hustle. I don't see a joie de vivre. I don't see a national pride. I see sort of, you know, just a hangdog quality that hangs over our head like that character in Little Abner with the clouds. That's what worries me the most. Periodically, kids are going to set up tents. I'm just talking about in general that the huge majority isn't coming forward saying, stop that. You know, there's a bunch of people say, I get it.
And I don't know. What was the 2010 election, if not a huge number of Americans stepping forward and saying, stop that? What was, you know, I mean, the truth is there are a lot of people who don't have the same political outlook that you have, or that you are, you know, share the same political values that you and I might share. And in a democracy, they're legitimately entitled to you know, to try to bring about change as well. But when you look at the way, just look at the election results. Look at you know, whether you point to you know, the dramatic congressional, you know, turnout in 2010, or you look at the thumping that George W. Bush got after Katrina, you know, to take an example from the other side of the spectrum. You know, the ability of Americans to come together in huge numbers and peacefully march into their voting booths and say, stop it, we want to change, I'd say that ability, that muscle is as well exercised as ever.
Well, you get me pumped up again, Jacoby. Maybe I needed this because you're like Randy Mantooth. He came in, I was flatlining, and you put the paddles on me. But I would like to get to a president again where the buck stops as opposed to the buck starts. That's not helping things any.
You know, as you and I know, but maybe some of our listeners don't. What we're referring to is a column that I had in the Globe the other day about whether or not people should feel optimistic or pessimistic about the future of the United States. And I got a ton of email from people afterward alluding to what you just alluded to, emails that would say in the subject line things like, I'll be pessimistic again on January 20th, 2013. So, yeah, there are a lot of people who, especially if you take politics seriously, who's optimistic or pessimistic, you know, the needle fluctuates based on what's going on in the political world. I don't think there's anything like a slam dunk for whoever the Republican nominee is going to be. But I would say, you know, that if you read the tea leaves by and large, or I should say you look backward, by and large, when the economy is as troubled as it is, presidents don't usually get a second crack at it. So, you know, I mean, whatever happens, I've got no more insight than you do into what's going to happen, you know, a year from now. But, you know, I would say just based on the ability of this country to pick itself back up, even when there's a lot of malaise in the air, and, you know, and go charging forward again, I'm not ready to say that Ronald Reagan was wrong when he insisted that the country's best days are yet to come.
Well, you got me pumped up. I came into this interview like Zach Mayo doing sit-ups in the rain. Because I got nowhere else to go. And now you've pumped me up like Lou Gossett Jr. Jeff Jacoby, Boston Globe columnist. And I see this. This is the reason I love Ron Paul on many levels. When he tells me that he thinks maybe cordiality with radical Islam, and when he points out, can I tell you, Nikita Khrushchev taking off his Baswegian and thumping a podium at the UN.
And a lot of people thought he was absolutely right.
Yeah, but
I mean, those were the Sputnik days. America's best days were over. We were falling apart. We couldn't even keep up with, with the guys on the kolkhozes speaking with the bad accents. Right?
It looks like a Norman Rockwell litho in relation to radical Islam. And
Wait, say that again? What was that?
But Khrushchev doing that looks like a Norman Rockwell litho compared to radical Islam having
a
bomb.
Roll the clock back. Put yourself back into the heyday of the Cold War. At the time, which would have seemed, for Americans then versus Americans now, can you really say that the threat from radical Islam is so obviously more threatening?
I can because of the faith
involved.
Than the
threat from Soviet communism?
I'm just telling you, for me, when a man believes in God and heaven on earth through Lenin, that frightens me. But when somebody actually believes that their e-ticket into heaven is to usher in a new caliphate that liquidates the state of Israel and thus their bodyguard, the great Satan. Yeah, that freaks me more than
I agree with you that it's a lot harder to expect any kind of rational response from people for whom apocalypse is a career goal. I agree and I understand the point. But the Soviets, the communists had the entire Red Army to back up their crazy, destructive impulses. What are the issues?
Well, I also might add, Jeffrey, that I was, I'm 58, so let's say I was 12. I don't think I had quite the grasp to fear Khrushchev as much as I do now.
Listen, Dennis, even at age 12, you had a better grasp of world affairs than an awful lot of people, you and I both.
Listen, at age 12, Khrushchev to me was a reason to duck and cover and get out onto the playground for an extra half hour a day, because that's all it was. It was a drill. I'm telling you, I fear radical Islam more with a nuclear weapon, and some people are going to say, oh, you're just Islamophobic. I'm not. At some point, even if you went into the middle of the Kremlin and said, here's how we're going to do this, we're going to strap bombs onto our children, somebody, Dobrynin, Gromyko, somebody was, what are you, crazy? We're commies. We're not nuts. You got people now who are willing to strap bombs on their kids, and that scares the living hell out of me.
Right. Listen, I don't. I've written column after column agreeing with the point that radical Islam is a problem. I'm one of those who believes that moderate Islam is the only solution. And we've got a problem. We've got to solve it. It's not the first problem, and it's not the first time we're going to solve it. We may not yet have figured out how to give the encouragement and the strength and the support to the moderate Muslims that's needed, but guys like Zudi Jasser that I know you've had on the show any number of times, I think I look at the problem that radical Islam poses, then I look at guys like Zudi Jasser and I think that's the solution. We just need to figure out how to get that solution out of the test tube and into,
start giving them a valise of cash like Charlie Wilson and let them go over there and start spreading it. Maybe that's the fix. We're talking to Jeff Jacoby, Boston Globe columnist. I favor a cigarette pack that has a photo of the president on it still smoking that says, even if you have it all, you can't quit, so don't start.
Are there any of those pictures? Do we have pictures of Barack Obama smoking?
Well, there are from his youth, I still think he smokes on Ash Wednesday when I see that butt on Biden's head, and he tries to tell you he's Catholic, but I know that if there's a hastily called press conference that he has it in his rider that Barack
gets. I think Michelle makes him go out onto the south balcony if he wants to have a puff, but boy, can you imagine what Drudge would do if he could get a grip on a photograph that showed the president today puffing away. There's a ticket.
Well, there's two. There's the one guy sucking smoke in through the hole in his neck, and there's the other guy who seems to blow it out his posterior.
The guy blowing smoke at us, that's the emblem of American politics.
That might be more effective, but these packs are getting crazy, Jeffrey. What do they want to do? Make how much of the pack a depiction of some of the ills of cigarette smoking?
Listen, it's the new theology. You're not allowed to make reference to the old moral truths tradition. So instead, the health issues have become the new morality.
Yeah.
Once upon a time, they would have, hollered and preached at you from the highest pulpit, you save it for marriage. Now what they holler at you from the highest pulpit is, don't you dare smoke. It's a different kind of message, but it's promoted and pursued with equal passion. But fortunately, the First Amendment's going to prevent the government from turning every cigarette pack into an anti-smoking billboard, which is what the head of the FDA said that it was her goal to accomplish.
I swear to God, if the left could really show me that they wanted me to keep alive forever so I could have more fun, that'd be great. But all I think is they want to keep me alive so they can be pains in my ass a little longer. So
I believe something. I think it was George Will who once said that that the left, liberals don't really care what you do as long as it's mandatory.
that's why Will, the sharpest Ginsu in the drawer.
Right.
All right, Jeffrey, you're spry today. Are you on ginkgo biloba or something?
I don't know. My wife also said that I was bouncing. I must have had my coffee.
Jesus,
earlier.
You were always good, but I feel like I was a Bucky Fuller today. Good for you, baby. All right, we'll talk at you down the road.
Thanks a lot, Dennis.
Jeff Jacoby, Boston Globe columnist, striping it. Ooh, saw the commissioner's signature on the ball today.